So what I want to talk to you about is the Holy Spirit. In our gospel reading, it says when the advocate comes. The advocate is the Holy Spirit. It's really, the Greek word is parakletos, the paraclete. You know, I don't know if you should really translate it, because it can be translated Spirit of Truth. It can be counselor, helper, comforter, advocate, all of these different things. So we could just leave it as paraclete, but then people might misunderstand it. They might think about a little yellow bird that's in a cage. That's a parakeet. Or they might think about what football players have on the bottom of their shoes. Those are paracletes. This is not either one of those. This is the paraclete. This is the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus promised throughout his ministry. As he was preparing his disciples for his departure, he said to them, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to send to you the paraclete, right? Can you say it? Paraclete. Whatever that is, it's the Holy Spirit's manifestation among us in this physical realm. So Jesus gathers his disciples together in the upper room at the Last Supper. 24 hours now from when this text takes place in John 15 and 16, he will be dead in the tomb. And Leslie, what a beautiful graphic you have up there about the tomb, the stone being rolled away. Well done. You always do a great job. I don't mention it enough, though. But it's really beautiful. It shows what happened in his resurrection. So Jesus gathers them together. 24 hours from that time, he's going to be dead in that tomb. But of course, we know how that story ends, right? He doesn't stay in the tomb. God raises him from the dead. 40 days later, he ascends into heaven. He tells his disciples to go into Jerusalem and tarry. Have you been told to tarry lately? Tarry. It's not a word that we use a whole lot. It means hang out. I do it a lot, but I don't call it tarrying. Hey, what did you do today? I was tarrying. hanging out. So tarry, wait. So they waited for 10 days, and the Holy Spirit came upon them like a rush. Well, Jesus is telling them at this time that he's together with them, in the few last words that he has with them, he's telling them some questions that our children always want to know when we start to go somewhere, right? You've heard it. You're getting in the car. They go, where are you going? Can I come? Oh, who's going to watch me? Aren't those the questions they want to know? It's the same question as the disciple. Where are you going? Well, I'm going to the Father. Can we come? Not now. Who's going to watch it? The paraclete. The paraclete's going to be coming here to comfort you. And it's for your own good that the paraclete comes. Because when Jesus was on earth in the flesh can only be at one place at one time, right? The paraclete can be everywhere all at once. He's in this bread and wine. He's in the bread and wine on the tables all across the world. He's up there in heaven with our loved ones that have gone beyond, before us. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. God is with us in the living and the ones that have passed on in the next life. He is present with us everywhere. The paraclete is everywhere. So it's for our good that he should come. Now, what's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Purpose of the Holy Spirit to get us to speak in some tongues like that? Well, that is a gift, but it is not the only gift. It is a gift. There's many gifts of the Spirit. In fact, I like the way Paul describes spiritual gifts in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. He says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. And if it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, these are the seven main spiritual gifts, I think. I think there's manifestations of those gifts, and I think speaking in tongues is a manifestation of the gift of prophecy. Now, what is the gift of prophecy? Oh, by the way, have any of you taken a spiritual gifts survey? Do you know what your gifts are? Do you have any idea? Does it make a difference? I think it's interesting to take a survey and see if it matches up what you think. But the gift of prophecy isn't to predict the future. That's not what the gift of prophecy is, declaring the word of God. Hopefully what I'm doing here among you every week and during Bible classes, I'm declaring the word of God. I'm not making a prediction that's not based on anything that's not in Scripture. So I think speaking in tongues is a manifestation of that spirit of prophecy. Are you following me here? So there's many, there's teaching, there's all different kinds of ways the Holy Spirit comes into us. But there's one main thing that the Holy Spirit was created to do. And that is to point us to Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. Here's Jesus, and he points out to Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit isn't here to slay us in the spirit. It isn't to throw us in a holy laughter. If those are some manifestations of things, maybe that's a side effect. But it's not the thing. The thing is for the Holy Spirit to come into this world and let us believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Because apart from the Holy Spirit, we're lost. We can't do it. I can't make a decision apart from the Holy Spirit. Natural man is not capable of coming to the divine without supernatural help. Amen? Because anything that I can talk you into, someone else can talk you out of it, right? But when the Spirit of God comes into you and fills you with the truth, no one can talk you out of that because you believe it. And we need the Holy Spirit to believe. Billy Graham used to always do these crusades. And he always used to say, decision time. And he'd play Just As I Am without one plea. And people would come down. If you have decided to believe in Jesus Christ, come on down. Well, one of our Lutheran, trying to think of the one that he used to write these devotional books, had a conversation with Dr. Graham. And he said to him, you know, we don't make a decision, but we're called by the gospel. The gospel influences us. And so Billy Graham changed what he said. He said, having heard the gospel, do you wish to respond? And that's what it's really all about. Listen to what Martin Luther wrote in the explanation for the third article. Now, third article of what? The third article that you read today in the paper? No. The third article of the Apostles' Creed. There's three persons of the Trinity, right? And next week, you... It's devoted to the Trinity. That's my favorite one, the one that you cannot possibly explain. The only teaching in all of the church that has to do with the doctrine rather than the teaching of Jesus. But anyway, I'll try to be here for that. But the Trinity is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? So there's three articles in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in Holy Spirit, right? We're going to be singing that or speaking that in a little while. But the third article goes like this. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Now, Martin Luther asked the question, what does this mean? And then he answers it. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gift, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. So we cannot, by our own reason or strength, come to believe in Jesus Christ. It has to be a gift of the Spirit. So how do we go about getting that? We talked in Bible class about this between the service break. And David said the Holy Spirit is always searching. It's always looking for us to come into us. And we can put ourselves into position like we can be here. We can be here to hear the word of God. We can receive the sacrament. We can do these things. We can be baptized. All these things that come into us and give us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to guide us in all truth. Now, Is truth a word that we can talk about in today's culture? Is there a truth? Is there a truth? Or does everybody have their own truth? Does it depend on how much money you make or little money you make, what race, religion you are? Pontius Pilate asked the question, what is truth? Jesus answered it earlier by saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is a truth. Jesus is the truth. So the spirit of truth comes into us to point us to Christ. When I used to teach religion in St. Louis at Lutheran High School South, yeah, there was St. Louis is the Vatican of the Lutheran Church. It's our church headquarters. It's our holy city. And there were four Lutheran high schools that were filled to the brim. And in my class, I forgot I did this because I should be doing it in confirmation and other times too. But I got, when we'd start the class, I'd get out a jar full of beans. And I'd ask the kids, high school kids, how many beans do you think are in this jar? And then I'd write their names down on a whiteboard and I'd put their guess. And then I'd say, okay, now, what is your favorite song? And they'd tell me their favorite song, and I'd write their favorite song next to their guess on how many beans there were up on the whiteboard. And then we'd open up the container, dump out the beans, we'd count the beans. And we'd say, okay, which one is closest to being right? Which one is correct? Well, none of them were correct, but one was closer. Then I said, let's look at the list of your favorite songs. Which one is correct? Which one is the best song? And they all said, well, you can't tell me what my best song is. It's everybody has their own opinion on that. And I said, okay, great. What is our faith like? Is our faith like how many beans are in this jar? Or like your preference to what your favorite song is? How do you base your faith on? On truth or preference? And you know what? These kids brought up in the church, all of them confirmed, almost every time they would say it's like a song. It's my preference. It's not your preference. God has established what is true and what is not true. We don't get to choose for ourselves. We get to either accept or reject. And that's the bottom line in our faith. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives so that we might accept. Apart from that, we are rejecting. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for him to bring us, to guide us in all of the truth. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't come to accuse us. That's what Satan does. Satan accuses us of sins that are already forgiven. Are you following me here? The devil tries to make us feel bad about sins that God has already forgiven. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives to convict us of sins that are not yet forgiven, but yet will be when we bring them to God. You see, there's a big difference there, right? There's a big difference there. Now, it says that he's coming to prove the world wrong in their concept of sin. You know, I think most people think sin is something that we do, right? I got angry at someone. I shoplifted something. I cheated on my income tax. I you name it. That's not the problem. The problem is inside. The world says it's what we do. God says it's you. You are the sinner. It's our nature. Ever since our fall into sin, we've ruined that image and likeness of God. We are sinners. Man does not sin because they do things wrong. They sin because they're sinners. It's who we are. It's an inside thing. So something has to change in us. And what changes is in us when we come to the baptismal font and we receive the Holy Spirit and the water and the word of our baptism. The old Adam gets drowned. And the new Spirit of God can live in us. We no longer conform to the patterns of the world, but are transformed inwardly by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we start to change. Now, the problem with that beautiful picture is, excuse me, is that this perfect Spirit of God is still encased in this body of death, this flesh body that is my humanity, this sinful me. You've seen the cartoons of the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder, right? Talking into their ear. That's not far from the truth. That's kind of what it is. There's this battle going on. There's a battle being fought for your soul. But Christ has already won, and that's something else he talks about in this text, that Satan has been judged. It's a perfect tense verb. It's something that's happened in the past at the resurrection of Jesus Christ with present enduring results. Satan is still judged, but the world gets that wrong. We give him far too much power. He is defeated. He is lost. The Holy Spirit wants to change us. Let me give you a picture of this. Let's say I'm walking out of a coffee shop. I've got a cup of coffee, open the door, and somebody bumps into me and I spill coffee. Now, why did I spill coffee? Because there was coffee in my cup. Right? Whether somebody bumped me or not, knowing me, I'd have spilled it anyway at some point. Probably when I got into my car on my dress shirt. But at any rate, I spill coffee because it's what's in my cup. You see how that's how it is with us. Whatever's inside of us is what boils over when someone bumps us. Jesus said it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles a person. It's what comes out of your mouth. Because that's where the hate, that's where the malice, that's where the sin, that's where the focus of our sinfulness is. It's inside of us. So the Holy Spirit is coming in to try to work away those things to bring us closer and closer to Christ as we walk with him, as we ask for forgiveness, we receive forgiveness, we receive the sacrament, we are of service to him in his kingdom. Have you ever gone to the store and bought an apple and had a worm in it? Sometimes you cut into it and it's working its way out. You know, the worm doesn't eat its way in. You know that, right? The worm is an egg when it's a blossom in the apple. Aren't you glad you came today to get a little horticulture lesson? The egg was laid in the blossom. When the fruit matured, so did the worm. And it's trying to eat its way out. That's what happens to sin. It's in us, tries to get its way. Okay, I'm taking way too long here, folks. Sorry about that. When I see people start looking at their watches, that doesn't bother me so much. It's when they take out the calendar and start. I'll just jump right down toward the end of this. The one sin that is not forgiven. All of the sins are forgiven except for one. Do you know what it is? Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's what brings us to faith. Amen. The Holy Spirit brings us to faith. So all of the other sins are forgiven. In fact, we know John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The next verse, for God did not send a son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Why? Verse 19. For the world already stands condemned because they didn't believe in the name of God's Son. You notice it says convict them of sin, not sins. The only sin, I'm going to say this clearly, it's shocking. The only sin that's going to send a person to hell is unbelief in Jesus Christ. Unbelief is the mother, the father, the grandfather, the grandmother, the great-grandfather of all sins. Without belief, it is impossible to be right with God. Because there's two kinds of righteousness. There's the good works that I do, which Isaiah said amount to filthy rags in the eyes of God. Or there's the righteousness that Christ did, the perfect gift that Christ did. And through faith, he gives us his righteousness. So our human righteousness is unacceptable to God. But the good news is God doesn't spell righteousness D-O. He doesn't spell it do. God spells it D-O-N-E, done. Christ has done it for you. And if you can say that, then you have the Holy Spirit. Whether you speak in tongues or not. Because the Bible says no one can say Jesus is Lord apart from the Holy Spirit.
And may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.